welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, and we're doing what everybody's doing now. It's the Zoom interview, the Zoom podcast. Today with me, we have former Utah Grizzly, still professional hockey player, Mitch Wall. Mitch, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
It's awesome to see you again. We're excited to touch base with you and see how you're doing and catch up.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, it's a lot of time has passed between the time I've played there, so we have some things to talk about.
Yeah, so where were you, or what season were you here last? What years were those?
I played 11, 12, and 12, 13. So I played parts of two seasons there, but time flies. It's 7, 8 years ago now, so it's been a while.
And where were you when all this COVID hit?
I was actually in Germany at the time. That's where I played this past season. And we got out of there, it seemed like at the time, just in the nick of time when they put the ban up and everything for the travel restrictions and stuff. So we wanted to get home when we could, but we did. And it sounds like it's getting better actually over in Europe at this point, though.
Yeah, it's Germany seems to be going back and forth. My daughter was supposed to start school there this semester, and now they're doesn't look like that's going to work out. Our other hosts, we're always glad to have back Evan Stofflett. Evan, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Looks like the COVID beard's in full effect.
Yeah, figured I'd try it out. I don't know how much longer it'll last, but we'll see.
I like it. It's hard to tough it out, but I like it.
Thank you.
And then our other co-host is Jordan Parisi. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing well. We're just kind of hanging in there. There's not really a ton going on in my particular line of work right now with the hospitals and them shutting down a lot of the stuff that I do on a daily basis. But otherwise, everybody's hanging in there. Utah's great. You just walk out your back door, you got thousands of miles of trails, and that's your social distancing right there. So it's been all good.
Absolutely. And that is one of the greatest things about Utah. And you live in a part where, I mean, you're right next to a lake, right? You're right next to Jordanelle.
Right next to the Jordanelle, yep.
Yeah, very nice up there. All right, cool. So what we wanted to talk about this week is, and I say this week, and secretly we're not supposed to admit this, but Evan and Jordan and I already did this episode, and then we lost it to technology. So we're going to redo this episode because I think it's important to talk about. And I think it's something that parents wonder about. How do you pick the best hockey camp for your kid? And Jordan, I'm going to start off with you just because I think it was you that talked about being honest with yourself. And if it was Evan, then I'm going to give you credit for it. I don't know who said it during our other episode, but I thought that was a really good point about being honest with yourself and with your child that you're going to send to a hockey camp. So Jordan, tell us a little bit about what you think goes into picking a hockey camp.
So, yeah, I mean, it was both Evan and I that kind of talked about this, and we're just making sure that when parents are doing these things, when they're setting things up, that the expectation has been set of what they're trying to get out of this camp that they're going to be sending their kids to. So if they want their kid to go there and just have a good time and say it's have it be more like, hey, he's just with his buddies, this is a YMCA type camp, they're going to go fishing on some days, they're going to go go-karts the next day, they're going to go, you know, just kind of enjoy their time more or less, then just understand that that's what you got to go for. If you're expecting, and we talked a lot about managing expectations, but if you're expecting this, the camp that you're going to be sending your kid to be a very high level camp, and it's not, you can't be yelling at people and you can't be yelling at coaches that it's not up to that level. And the same thing goes for the other side. If you wanted your kid to have a more enjoyable experience and he's not that serious about hockey, but he still wants to hang out with his friends, and then you send him to a camp that is very high intensity, then, you know, you can't be critical of that camp either, because, you know, you as a parent, you just, it's, and we'll get really deep into this, but you really have to do your best to do your homework and understand what you're getting yourself into and manage the expectations with the kids, manage your own expectations of, you know, so that you can kind of just go into this and say, this is what we're expecting. This is, we can talk to the counselors, we can talk to the coaches, we can, you know, it's more about doing all this stuff in the front end. So then in the back end, after that camp has happened or during the camp, you know, you're not kind of crying foul and saying, hey, this isn't what we signed up for. So it's doing a lot of the a lot of the research in the front end, manage the expectations of the parents, manage the expectations of the kids. And then, to be honest with you, at that point, everybody should be pretty happy with the direction that they went.
Right. And that's, I think this is a perfect group to talk about this, because in order to get where you guys got as professional hockey players, you've had to go to camps growing up, and you learned firsthand what worked best for you. And I'm sure that that's what you try to apply to your camps. And now, Mitch, you're going to do a camp this summer. That's your intent this year, is you're doing a camp and you're bringing it to Utah. And tell us, what kind of thought process did you put into putting your camp together, and what are you hoping to offer, and what are you hoping the kids get out of it?
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point where you, as a kid, I did a lot of camps, and I learned a lot of things as a child to develop my skills and whatnot. So a lot of those camps that I did, I felt like really helped me as a player and as a, you know, as I've gone on through junior hockey and into pro hockey. And that's kind of what I have embedded in me. And that's kind of what I like to try to, you know, put into the kids that I work with. I've done a lot of things in California. That's where I'm mainly based. I spent some time in Boise, Idaho too. But I've done a lot of like more smaller group things, and mainly skill development is what I work on, stick handling, skating, and just like your fundamentals of the game. I do like to make my things challenging and push the kids, of course, but I like to, you know, by the end of the session, I hope that they can get something out of it that they improved on their skills. So that I like to work on more stick handling, shooting, and skating are like the things I like to focus on. I've decided to bring my camp to West Valley City, June 22nd to the 25th. I'm hoping that we're able to do that. It's MWS hockey camp. I call it Mitch Wall Skills is kind of my line. And I've just mainly done it throughout the summers. Obviously I'm still playing ice hockey. I play in Germany. So I'm home for 3 to 4 months of the year. And I have a handful of kids that I've worked with throughout the years and try to develop their skills, but I wanted to expand, and I thought Salt Lake was a good area. I know it's the minor hockey there is developing and growing a lot. And I still have some contacts there, and I thought it would be a good option. So I've tried to go for it. So I'm hoping I have some kids that will come out and try to develop skill.
Yeah. We're excited to have you back. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll help you get the word out, obviously, with this, and I'll do everything I can to help you with that. And now, Evan, you're transitioning this year from professional hockey player to professional hockey coach. And as we can see with your hat, as you're self promoting there with West Coast.
Yep. Why not? Right.
And for years, so this, if we can pull my camp off this year, this will be the 20th year I've done my camp in Utah. And I think you've been there for like 15 of them.
Yeah. And big chunk.
Probably more. And you've really developed, you know, you've learned, you've grown just as I have running these camps. And you're kind of like, you're my go-to guy when it comes to you and Ryan Kanasiewicz in Utah are like my go-to guys as far as with players. And so tell us a little bit about what you've experienced and maybe from your first year to this upcoming year, how you've developed more or how you've changed what you put into a camp.
I would just say the trends of the game. When I first started doing it, it was a lot less, I don't want to say not less skilled, but just it wasn't as fast. I don't think, I mean, it seems like everyone's a good skater now. So you kind of have to adapt along with the game and what you want to get out of it and what you want the kids to get out of it. I think probably, hopefully, you know, the kids will come in a little bit more polished just because they have so much access to YouTube and video, and they can see so-and-so doing, you know, one trick shot or a different, you know, they just have access to so much more knowledge that you kind of have to take all that in and even broaden off of that so you can challenge them and, you know, make them better and have them get their money's worth and their time's worth out of what they expect out of the camp.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something, like we talk about being honest with yourself. And one of the things I've learned on doing camps is, I said this last time, and when I decided to do my camp, I just stole the blue plate from, or, you know, the, the template from what Shattuck St. Mary was doing at the time. So, and I had talks with Jordan's dad about what I was doing. Jordan's JP was always like, you know, make sure the kids have passion. I wish I could do his accent, but make sure he has the kids have passion for the game. Don't take the passion away from them. And at the end of the day, that's the important part, is that the kids want to come every day and they want to learn. And he told me at 16, 17, they're going to be driven or they're not going to be driven. And no camp, no parent, no lecture is going to put that in them. It's either they love the game enough and they want to do it for a living, or they don't. And so my camps have always been designed around working hard, working fun, and making sure they want to come back to the rink next day, next year, next season, whatever. And Jordan, you and I have had conversations about this. Your camps are a little more intense. Like you were explaining something about, for you, what you got out of a camp was knowing at some point that came out in a game, that extra dedication, that extra like hour you put on one thing, and then you saw it where you beat somebody because you'd worked harder.
Yeah. So that's the, there's a misconception right now, I think, that's going around and with determining what is considered fun for kids. And as I kind of mentioned before, you know, there are certain camps where you go there and it is truly a fun endeavor in the sense of the kids are laughing, they're having a great time, and you know, they get pizza every night and all that. And then there's the other side of fun, which is more my side of fun that is, you have worked so much harder than your opposition, so much harder than anybody else, push yourself beyond what you felt were your own capabilities, over and over and over again. And then the fun part is when you actually get to put that into application and you see that in a game. And because you did something when the lights were off, there's something that happens in a game where you were clearly successful because of that extra hard work that you put in. And it's a very fleeting but gratifying moment where you just say, this is exactly why I did this hard for that one time. And then you carry on, you move on to the next thing, and the rest of the play happens, the rest of the game happens, and then you get right back to work. And then the enjoyable part for me was always getting back to work. And then for the opportunity that I may have that another chance to say, I beat you because I outworked you. And that's the enjoyable part for me. And it was when I played. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's the right thing and it's the right mentality and the right attitude as I put together my camps and I have kids on the ice with me. But it is what worked for me. And it's actually been an amazing experience over the last, this year was my first real year coaching a team. And I started my coaching career at Shattuck, and then, you know, I helped out with Jay's camp, and then I helped out with Ian Clark's camp when it was GDI. So I've been doing camps for a very long time at a very high level, but it was never to the point where I was actually coaching the kids. And you get to see all these different personalities and how you have to present something different to every single person, and how and no two people are alike, and how they are motivated or how they are intrigued or how you can maximize what their talents are, or what their capabilities are. And so this was the first year where I really dove into that of how do you present a practice every single day throughout the course of the season and keep people engaged and accept that there are going to be 70% or 60% that are engaged on a daily basis, and then there's 30 or 40 that aren't, and being okay with that. That was a huge struggle for me when I started coaching this year, but it was something that I had to learn to accept. And I got to learn an absolute ton this year with coaching based on the fact that I actually get to coach teams and how there's a correlation or not a correlation between how you run a camp and how you run an actual team for the season.
Okay. So Mitch, what do you think about what was just said there? What do you have to add or?
Yeah, I think those are a lot of good points. Like you said, you can get a lot of different things from a camp. I like a lot of the things Jordan just said with just like the work aspect of it, like outworking your opponent. I mean, that's that's gratifying. And that's knowing that you put in the work to accomplish that against your opponent is a really good feeling. So, I mean, like there's a lot of different things. Like I like to focus more on the skill work stuff, and that's kind of what I grew up in. And that's kind of the player I feel like I developed into, as a more of a skill type player. And then you know, you have your harder working players, and you get different things out of anything you do, but I think it's they're all good choices. They're all good options, and to each their own of what really they're actually looking for in their personal game.
Absolutely. Evan, you have something to add to that?
Yeah, it kind of goes back with the being honest and, you know, doing the research, where if you put yourself in a place that you'll enjoy it, you're going to get up so much more out of it than if you're not looking for, say you're looking more for like a high level hardcore type camp, and you're not going to get much out of that if you just want to have fun, because you're going to turn off, you're just going to be, this sucks, you know, this, that, and whatever. But if you go to one where it might be a little bit more laid back, you're going to enjoy it more, you're going to be tuned in more, you're going to be, you know, more intrigued by what's going on. And so I think a lot of it just kind of funnels back into that initial realization of what exactly you're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things, and it's there's a dichotomy there, because for me, putting on the camps for so many years and having so many students come through, I've been lucky enough to see the progression of certain students. And like we talked about before, you have kids that come in that, you know, from day one, and Jordan, this gets to kind of what you were talking about, is, you know, you have a kid that wants to be the best and he wants to work hard, and you'll have that, especially in Utah. We'll have standout kids on teams, and then we'll have kids that are trying to become standout players, and then we have kids that fill the rest of the spots. And that's just how Utah hockey is, and that's how a lot of markets are. And so for us, I built my camp, and I hope this is how most camps are built, is I built them to try to nurture everybody at once, which it's basically impossible, right? But we tried to make it so that, like, you know, when I had a kid like Alex Halloran, or, I mean, I've had a lot of these guys that came through before they made it somewhere. Daniel Brickley and all these guys came to me when they were young, and some of them didn't have the drive when they were younger. And they come in and, you know, you put on the best camp you can for them, and you try not to lose anybody. That was always my goal. I don't want somebody to come to my hockey camp and quit hockey. And I had it happen. I had it happen every year. At least three or four kids would quit the sport. And a couple kids quit the position. Like my first few camps were goalie camps, and Jordan, I started flying you in right away. I think you were, I can't remember how old you were, but I started you flying in right away to work with our goaltenders. And we had guys that would just be like, you know what, this is way harder than I thought. I thought goaltending was just standing there and stopping pucks and having cool masks, right? So guys would quit the position. And I always kind of felt bad, but I was glad they stayed in the sport. But then you have kids that just quit the sport, which is fine too, because, you know, if the game's not for them, it's not for them. But so I started bringing in other players to do, like, exactly what Mitch is saying and exactly what Shattuck would do. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, we started compartmentalizing our training so that, all right, the morning skate for the players was just skills. And we'd go off, again, I was using JP's example of every drill had, you made a pass, you caught a pass, you had a turn, and you had some deception. Those were the keys of his drill. And then the afternoon session would be just skating. And then we have like Evan come in and teach defensive techniques so that everybody kind of got an idea, you know, and we started really breaking it down. Because when we first started doing hockey camps, all the parents expected 20 years ago was that you would skate, pass a little bit, and then scrimmage. They wanted to see scrimmages. And the longer I would do camps, the less I wanted to see scrimmages, the less I thought the kids were getting out of scrimmages. And, that's something I want you guys to touch on as well, because I have parents come to me all the time. And again, we don't have the ice time that they have at Shattuck and Mitch. I'm not sure where else, like how it is in California, but like for me, I'm dropping 20 grand on ice for a week to try to get three groups through and 3 hours of ice per group per day. And it's like, I don't really have time for scrimmage. Like, you work on your drills, you work on, like, work on this developmental and become a better player, and then take that stuff into your games later and see. I mean, we try to have a game at the end of the week, but Mitch, we'll start with you actually. Do you see an importance of having scrimmages during camps?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you made some really good points with what you said. I think applying the skills that you learn into your games is what you're trying to get out of a camp. I feel like you can get out and hop onto a stick and puck and scrimmage anytime you want. So I feel like developing of whatever you're trying to get at your camp, whether it be skills, whether it be, you know, trying defensive stuff, being harder to play against, whatever it may be. I think that applying those to your games after your camps is more important. Yeah, I think maybe, like you said, towards the end of the camp or the end of the day, a small game of some sort to keep the fun in the camp is productive and keeps kids engaged and, you know, leave them with a smile. But I don't think coming out for, you know, a good 30-hour scrimmage is really productive.
Right. Evan?
Yeah, I think it's more, you know, just compartmentalize it. So you can do small area games that are a game-like situation that will help highlight that certain skill, you know, whether it be protecting the puck out of the corner and spinning out, getting a shot. You know, you put some a defenseman on there or a forward playing defense. That's a game-like situation where they're going to have some competition. It's going to be a little more fun, but it's not the free-for-all of having the full ice to just kind of, you know, do whatever you want. So I think you can apply that in a more, you know, controlled factor.
All right, Jordy.
Yeah, so this is actually I've thought a lot about this. And I've talked with a lot of coaches that I used to have, and there's so much good that come, and I'm just going to parlay off Evan. There's so much good that comes from the small area games that it can't go unnoticed. And if you want to consider that scrimmaging, you can consider it scrimmaging. But, you know, there'll be people that will ask me as a goaltender, like, hey, you know, what should you be doing on a 3-on-2? And if you, like, there is no answer for that. There's no answer, and it's because of, well, is this a right-hand shot or a left-hand shot coming down this way? What kind of curve does he have? Which way is he looking? Has he opened his hips up yet? Like, there's all these different things that, like, I can't explain why I understand them, but I do understand them because of these game or these scrimmage-type situations where there was, like, this innate kind of learning experience that took place because of stuff like that. So at Shattuck, for an example, like, we would almost never do full ice scrimmages, but we would do a lot of half ice scrimmages where you would always have to, you know, touch up at the blue line and then regroup and come back in or something along those lines. Like, that would be our late night type stuff. But it gave kids the opportunity to try things constantly, and some things worked and some things didn't. And if you do too much of a structured type practice, then it's almost as if kids become robots and they just expect certain things to happen every single time that a 2-on-1 comes down or every single time that they are coming down on a 2-on-1. Like, there's never this, you know, you talked about deception. You talked about those types of things that you should have in all of these drills. And that's the same type of stuff that you learn while you have these small area games and while you have these scrimmage type situations. Now, again, I'm going to reiterate, like, a full ice scrimmage can turn ugly really quickly and it gets stupid really quickly. But if you have those small area game like situations where kids are able to try certain things and it's not so scripted and not so robotic, I mean, there's exponential rewards for that type of teaching as well.
It's funny because when you get into that, like, when I think back to the few hockey camps, because I didn't start hockey till I was in high school. And so I didn't go to that many hockey camps. But when I think back to what I thought was fun about hockey camps, I think of some of the scrimmages. But I also know for a fact, and maybe this is because I've always been playing catch up and I'm insecure or whatever, but the minute we got into a game situation, I wasn't thinking about what I just learned. I was just trying not to get beat as a goalie. And if that meant going back to whatever flopping or
yeah,
whatever crap I did, it didn't have anything to do with what I'd learned that day. And I look back at that now. I can think of specific times when I remember a coach pointing it out, Walsh from University of Maine back in the day. He pointed it out. He's like, hey, remember all that stuff we worked on today? You just threw it right out the window because you're having a scrimmage.
And right.
So anyway, okay. So that's one point I want to make. And obviously I don't have all the answers and people are kind of over the board. Small area games seem like the best idea for that. And so it's probably good to find out what camps are doing that. We talked a little bit last time, and we're going to keep this as upbeat as possible this time, is what parents should be like coming into these camps. And I just want to say, personally, I've had a lot of experience with parents over 20 years, over 19 years. And I've had parents that come in and drop their kids off, and they understand that, you know, Jordan, you've got a ton of professional games under your belt. Mitch, you do too. You're still adding them up. Evan, you put in a long career, and you know, like, that's why you hired a plumber, because he's got all that experience. And that's why you hire an electrician, because they've got tons of experience that they're bringing in that you don't know how to do. And granted, guys can chirp me all they want, but for not having a ton of pro experience or whatever. But that's also why I hire you guys to come in and run the camp. So when you bring your kid to a hockey camp, my advice is drop them off. I hope you did your research before the camp and that you know what the coaches are and what they're going to do with your kid. But don't lean over the glass and yell at your kid during, like, we're going to motivate them. We're going to teach them to be a better person. We're going to teach them those things that you can teach somebody within a week or 4 days or whatever you got. But, I mean, I've had parents come at me with my brochure and they didn't even understand the terminology in the brochure, but they're trying to nitpick every little thing. Like, hey, you said you were going to be doing, like, why aren't there any pucks in the morning? This is goalies. Why aren't there pucks? I'm like, I'm learning to skate right now. All right, Evan, it's your turn to go first on this one. What would you tell parents?
I would say just, you know, to reiterate, just let the coaches do what they do. That's why they're there. That's why they've been hired. I mean, I remember there was I don't know how many years ago this was. I think Ryan and I were running a camp and there was a lot of complaints because the parents were like, well, why are the kids getting disciplined too much or whatever? And it's what the parents failed to see was explaining a drill 3-4 times, drawing it up, showing them us doing it and then messing it up. And then, you know, the first person goes completely butchers it. Second person gets it half right. Call them back in, go through the whole thing. Do you have any questions? No, none of them had questions. Explain it again, draw it up, show them as we're doing it and then write back the same thing. So it's just, you know, ask the kids what's going on, what the deal is. Don't just automatically jump and start snapping on coaches, directors. You know, there's a reason for what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, it's something that we've dedicated so much of our, you know, blood, sweat, and tears and times to. And, you know, hopefully they can realize that. And, you know, there is a reason to start at, you know, point A and go to point B, C, D, instead of just going A to C, you know, instead of skipping that one little thing because the pucks are going to be out there or because now it's, you know, that we'll haven't done a shootout yet or, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Mitch?
Yeah. I mean, it goes kind of back to like knowing like what kind of camp you're attending. You need to, again, know and be aware of what to expect like before the camp starts. So, you know, I think we've all dealt with our fair share of parents having their opinions and telling you how it should be. But at that point, they're signing their kids up for your teaching and for your whatever you're providing for your whatever lesson, camp, whatever it may be. But it's hard to sometimes, you know, understand how they, you know, will approach you, like sometimes an attitude, sometimes, you know, you're getting praise for what you're doing. And it's very difficult to keep everyone happy at the same time, as I think we all know that. But I think, again, it just goes back to what to expect at your camp. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, good points. Jordy?
As always, as I've said many times, you have to do your research, and these guys have already said it too. You brought up a really good point, and I'm interested to hear what Mitch has to say about this. So Jay, you brought up something about how an expectation that you would kind of give to a parent is that you would motivate their kid. And I'm really interested to hear your guys' thoughts on this, because this was brought up at the very beginning when I was, when I accepted the coaching job up here. And I had, we basically asked the parents from the team, what are your expectations for this season? And I would say over half of them for a 16-year-old team mentioned, we want you to motivate our child. And I just thought that that was very funny, because if your kid has not figured out how to motivate himself by this point, like, it's not going to be me that does this. No. I'm going to push your kid. Trust me. Like, I will find out what your kid's capabilities are, and I will do my best to push him every single day so he can be a fraction better every day. And I'm going to figure that. I'm going to figure that out. I promise you, I'm going to push your kid. But motivate your kid, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. You know, I can sit here and I can try to have him run harder. I can sit here and I can try to make him shoot pucks more or get up quicker. But at the end of the day, like, if the kid doesn't have it inside of him already at that point, I don't know what that age is. I don't know when I learned this. I don't know when I learned to be self-motivated. And I don't know if it was something that, you know, at 5 years old, my parents did something at some point and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to push myself. But I'm very curious to hear what you guys think about this, because it has been a topic where it's been very difficult for me to understand how I can approach telling a parent, if your kid is not motivated, then you should really relook or take a peek at how you raised your child. Like, I don't think that that's like an easy conversation to have with a parent.
Yeah. Well, it could have nothing to do with how they've raised their child, and just that the child doesn't.
There you go.
Motivated to play that sport. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mitch, what do you think about that?
I would agree with you 100%. You have to have inside of yourself the willingness to work. And like you said, as coaches, that's any coach's responsibility, I feel, to push your players, push your kids, and get them to the next level. But from a player standpoint, having that motivation is within. Like, if you come and enjoy doing the work, that's a motivated feeling, I think. But if it's hard for you to go do that, and you're just kind of going through the motions just to get it done, that's, I mean, an unmotivated mindset and an attitude. So I, as far as being motivated, I mean, I don't know how you drive that into a kid. As a coach, for sure you can push whoever it is, but it's hard to, I think, pound motivation into someone. It comes within that person.
Evan, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, you guys kind of covered it all there, but I mean, it's providing them with the tools to get better. And at the end of the day, if they choose not to utilize that, I mean, much, right? If they're not willing to actually, then there's really nothing to do at that point. You can try and inspire them and be, you know, be engaged with them and, you know, be, show your excitement that you have for the game and those certain skills. But, you know, that can only go so far. You know, eventually it's going to have to turn, you know, you're going to have to look inward and see like, okay, is this really what I want to do? Is this really, do I really want to put this much effort into something?
Yeah. So, all right. So maybe what we're saying here is motivate isn't the right word. Maybe what we're trying to say is we're gonna push your kid that's already motivated. And for the ones that aren't, they're going to figure it out. And Jordan, it goes just like what I was saying your dad told me before. 16, 17, they're going to figure it out. And if they don't, because I told you the story of when I think you were present for all this. Shattuck St. Mary's was recruiting my son to go there to be a goalie. And I was trying to figure out what to do because, I mean, honestly, Shattuck St. Mary's is going to bankrupt a firefighter to try and get his kid at Shattuck, especially starting a junior high. So I talked to your dad, and your dad's like, does your kid love going to the rink? And I said, yeah, right now he does. He says, then it doesn't matter where he plays. If he loves going to the rink right now at 14, 15, he shouldn't go to Shattuck. He doesn't have to go to Shattuck. He can go there. Fine. That's a great school. But he can play on any team or just go play pickup at the pond. And at 16, 17, mm-hmm. It's going to click, and he's going to want to play somewhere, and there's going to be a better opportunity. And then he also told me that goalies don't get recruited out of Shattuck, so don't worry about
it. There's only been two, Ty Conklin and Jordan Freeze, the only two guys. There was a speaker that I had the opportunity to listen to, and he's the coach of the New Zealand All Blacks, which is a rugby team. And I mentioned this when I was on the podcast a long time ago. And so one of the questions that he was asked was, and if anybody, you should research the New Zealand All Blacks because they are the winningest franchise of all time of any sport ever. Just an incredible place. But so they asked him, how do you motivate your players? You guys are constantly number one, constantly, you know, the best at everything. How do you continue to motivate your players? And his response was, and mind you, he's the coach of the team. And his response was, it's not my job to motivate the players. It's the players. That's their job, is to motivate themselves. He said, well, my job is to create an environment for a motivated player to excel. And that's exactly what Evan said, is like, your job as a coach is just, if you have those people that are motivated, or if you don't, just make sure that you have an environment where those motivated players absolutely have the opportunity to do everything that their heart desires in order to become better players. And fortunately, I went to the University of North Dakota, and that was like the biggest draw for me, is we had unlimited ice, we had unlimited weight room, we had, you know, top-notch nutrition, we had access to all of these amazing things. And I was like, there is not a better place in the country as it stands right now for me to achieve the dream of becoming a professional hockey player. There's no place. And since then, more teams have kind of adopted that style. But that was the biggest draw for me. And I never really understood it until I got to listen to him speak. And when he said that so eloquently, I was just like, wow, that is exactly why I took the paths that I did. Because I understood that those were the environments where they offered me any opportunities that I could have ever wanted.
Yeah, that's amazing. I just went any place that had actually let me play hockey, so I didn't have a lot of offers. All right, so, and I wonder if parents having to teach their kids during the COVID, this outbreak, if everybody being homeschooled all of a sudden, if their parents are going to have a little bit more of an idea when they drop their kids off at the rink, what the coaches are in for, you know what I mean? Like, before they,
that their kids aren't the little princes and princesses that they thought that they were.
Yeah, exactly. So that might be a good thing for us going into this season or this coaching summer. So I think we've touched on basically everything I wanted to touch on. I know we have some really good camps here in Utah, and I know there's some other camps that I don't think are great, that are, they just come in, they set up, they do whatever. And I don't know, I don't know who their coaches are. I don't know how much they care about the kids. I don't know. I don't want to name any camps because maybe they're better this year. Who knows? I'm not here trying to pump my own tire. I don't even, with everything that's going on, I don't know if our camp's going to go this year. Mitch, I'm excited that your camp's coming in. Can you tell us the dates and all that stuff again and how we've signed up for your camp?
Yeah. Thanks guys a lot for having me on. And my camp's called MWS Hockey, a hockey camp. It's June 22 to June 25 of here of 2020. It's at the Accord Ice Center in West Valley City. I have the address right here. It's 5353 West, 3100 South in West Valley City. My Instagram is Mitch Wall Skills. That's my Facebook page as well. And
W-A-H-L.
That's right. Mitch Wall is W-A-H-L. Yep.
Okay.
And I have a link on my flyers that could be around town a little bit. They're on my page as well, but I can say that here. It's register.frontofficehockey.com /MWS2020UT for Utah. So that's,
I'm going to put that on our website. I'll also put it on my camp's website.
Cool. Thank you so much.
So that everybody can link up. Of course, we want to help. And our whole goal with this show, my whole existence and being here right now, is to just help Utah hockey get better. And I think you're a guy that can help do that. So, of course, we're going to help promote you. And I know that Metcalf has his camp going on, which I don't think conflicts with yours. Stofflet, what's going on with West Coast? Are they doing some camps?
Right now, just kind of waiting. I think they're looking into putting ice in the barn up in Park City. And I just kind of, like everyone else, just seeing what exactly shapes out, because with them kind of tentatively opening some of the other rinks, I don't know if they'll gradually allow more people in the building and whatnot. So it's just, it's kind of a big waiting game to see what's available and what we actually can do.
Okay. My camp, for anybody that's interested, I think, Jordan, I'm not sure if you're going to be here. You were slated to be one of my goalie instructors, but my camp is set for the first week of August, and it'll be at Murray, just like it always is. And that'll be on the Hockey Development Academy website. We'll have all that information there for you. We'll get Steve Metcalf's information as well. I think Kanasiewicz is doing a camp too. And I know Tim Branham's going to do one.
Greg Lieb too. I've been working with him with his pro advantage summer ice sessions as well.
Side note for me, if you don't mind for a second, Mr. Stofflet here has agreed to be one of my co-coaches as well.
Oh, nice.
That's right.
He's going to have to attend.
That's one of the good things about Utah is that we know who's good with kids. We know who who's around that we want involved in our camps. And so you'll see some of the same names appear. And I think that's a good thing. So I think, you know, Evan's been involved with my camp forever. Jordan's been involved with my camp. Greg Lieb, who's now doing his own thing, will also come back and teach some stuff at my camp. So we try to spread it out and try to get you as many, I'm going to call you guys tools out of the toolbox to, you know, to make you a better hockey player, to make you a better person. And sometimes it's the same names. But I hope this episode has helped people kind of figure out how to at least go about looking for a camp and, It just comes down to being honest with yourself and having your hockey player be honest with you, because you don't want to send, a player with not a lot of experience or not a lot of drive to one of Jordan's camps, but if you have that athlete that's trying to get better and trying to achieve that next level, then these are the guys that are going to do it. I mean, I think we have a panel here. These are the guys that you guys are committed to it, and you're not committed to it because you're like, oh, I need to make $500 this week. I mean, you put time, you put research, and this is the experience you guys have. You draw from what made you guys pros, and now you're giving it to Utah hockey players, which we have not had in the past. So I think it's huge. So I want to thank you guys all for being willing to coach Utah kids. And, does anybody have anything else you want to add? The floor is yours, as they say.
Thanks for having us on the show. It's been good to see you guys. Jay, I haven't seen you in probably 8 years. Stocks, it's been a long time too. Jordan, yeah. I'm very aware of your family and everything, so nice to meet you on here.
Yeah, it's been great, guys. Thank you very much for having us on, Jay.
All right. Okay, well, that's it for this week's Utah Puck Report. That's it. We'll hopefully be back with a couple more episodes next week. That's the Utah Puck Report.